Hello and welcome back to Small Biz Survival. We talk to some of the most interesting people doing wonderful things with rural all over the world. And today we are talking to Mr. Scott Meyer, who is a really interesting entrepreneur and business person from South Dakota, yes?
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So tell us about your company is Nine Clouds. Tell us about your company and a little bit about your town and where you're from.
Sure. Well, Nine Clouds is 4 years old, and it's bro-founded, we say, with my brother and I. So we are brothers and co-founders, John Meyer and Scott Meyer. And about 4 years ago, John was working a corporate job, and I was living overseas. And we were just home for vacation, and we saw something that shocked us, which was our mom, you know, reached up to get the phone book and call for pizza. And we just thought there has to be a better way than, you know, flipping through all these pages to find a pizza place in Brookings, South Dakota, which is where we were from. And so we decided then, you know, that maybe there's a need for people like my mom and businesses potentially to learn how to use digital media. And it just so happened there was a business competition at the time in the state of South Dakota, and we entered it and left. We didn't think much of it. John went back to Minneapolis to work at Accenture, and I was over in Norway. And about a month later, we got an email that said we'd like to do a Skype call. So we had an interview from Norway to Minneapolis to California and South Dakota, and they decided to have mercy on us, or I don't know, give hope in us, whatever the case may be, and gave us a small grant to get started. And that's how Nine Clouds got started. So we call ourselves a digital marketing and education firm. So basically we help businesses generate leads and connect with customers. And then we also teach people how to do that if they want to do it themselves. So it's great because it combines my interest in education, which is what I used to be, a professor, and my brother's interest in digital marketing communication into kind of one cohesive whole.
Well, neat. And so Brookings, and you grew up there.
Yeah, I grew up in Brookings. I left for 10 years, and I never thought I'd be back. We got the grant to get started, and I thought, you know, we would start in South Dakota and then decide where to go. But what we discovered is that, you know, when you're in your local community or local state, there's so many people who want to help you succeed, and there's usually so few people doing what you do. So it was very easy to quickly become the expert in the area. And that allowed us not only to generate enough business to sustain ourselves, but it also gave us the confidence then to go out of the rural communities and work internationally, work in big cities, but also still work and live in rural areas like Brookings.
So that's really interesting to me because yours is exactly the kind of company that could not have started in a place like Silicon Valley or a tech hub because you wouldn't have had the opportunity to immediately become the experts and connect with a lot of locals. And then to grow out and become an international business. It would have simply not been possible in one of those tech hub places.
Yeah, I think we would have been just another, you know, another digital company in a large city or a tech hub. And what those first couple of years gave us is I really say, you know, I got my MBA the first 2 years of our business just by starting a business and learning how to do it and learning how to meet customers' needs. And I think you know what makes it unique being from a rural area is you can solve different problems. So I know what a challenge is that maybe, you know, a seed company in Brookings, South Dakota has, or a rural manufacturer has, and the typical solutions that a tech company from a large city might recommend probably won't fly for them. And so we really enjoy that, and we're so excited because I feel like rural communities have stories to tell. Like, they're where they are for a reason. And really online, that's what stands out, is somebody with a story. You know, you're never going to be the fastest or the cheapest in the digital age. You can always find someone that's outsourced whatever you do, probably cheaper. But if people trust you, they like your story, and you're giving them a good experience, you're going to succeed. And so we really try to bring that out in our customers and make them own and share their rural stories, because that's what makes them unique and successful.
So another rural characteristic that you've really hung on to from your small town upbringing, and Brookings is about 20,000 people?
Yeah, so it's not so small for a lot of people around here. It's the it's the fourth largest town in the state. And yeah. So it's definitely, yeah, it's rural in the USDA sense of the word, but maybe not in the South Dakotan sense of the word, but definitely have family and travel all the time to small towns around. So
a couple of rural characteristics you've hung on to. One is that you have a strong sense of family, and listeners that are listening very carefully may have heard that you have a little helper with you today.
Yeah, if you turn up the treble, you probably can hear my first child, Amelia June. She's 5 weeks old today, and She is sleeping as she normally does right on me as I do this podcast. So family is really important, and that's really what brought me back originally to South Dakota. My family, we're, you know, I say I'm a fifth generation homesteader. My, you know, great-great-grandparents came here, and my family still has the same farm. So we have some tie to this area for sure, and it makes us want it to succeed. And not succeed just because, you know, my family's been here, but I see unique characteristics in that spirit of homesteading. You know, people who live around South Dakota, and I think a lot of rural communities, they're entrepreneurs at heart. You know, I think about the first people in my family who came to South Dakota. They were total entrepreneurs going to a brand new place, starting something brand new. And really the history of many rural communities is that of entrepreneurship, you know, whether it's family farms or, you know, raising cattle like you do or whatever it might be. There's lots of entrepreneur stories around here.
Yeah. So another rural characteristic is you've got that sense of frugality that comes with growing up from rural
sure.
families. And so when you first won that initial business competition, received your grant, a big grant, huge grant of, was it $15,000?
We got $15,000 from the state of South Dakota, and it was basically enough money to convince our parents, like, we won't starve if we do this. So my brother and I moved in together, ran our office from our kitchen counter, and it was a lot. You know, running a business with family members is always really challenging, but we got along so well. We had such a great experience, and now we run two companies together. But that initial, you know, that little amount of money was enough for us to take the risk. And so I always think, you know, as rural communities or states or economic development corporations, to think about how little it takes to encourage someone to start something. It takes a lot of tax incentives to bring a Lowe's or a Walmart or a, you know, a big company to your town, and those are needed, but I think when you consider the potential of a lot of people doing solopreneurship opportunities or small companies, it's really exciting. And those are the people who are invested in the community, who hire locally, who give back, you know, by volunteering. And I just, I think that model of economic development is really where the future should be for rural communities.
So obviously now you are, you're just an entrepreneur, just a business person. You don't carry the
sure.
title of economic developer. You're not a member of your local economic development board, as far as I know.
No, I'm not.
But you do care a lot about community. You run a blog called Digital Homesteading. You're reaching out to other businesses around, and you think a lot about the development of your community and about economic development kind of issues. So how does that happen that a business owner starts thinking that besides just worrying about making payroll or making sure the bills get paid, how do you decide that you need to take on a larger challenge and be involved in the community?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, you realize pretty quickly that you want to think about what is really your legacy work. What's the body of work that you want to be known for and remembered for? And I think about starting 4 years ago and some of the work we did for clients. Now it's laughable, you know, but at the time it was a job, right? But the things that I'm always most proud of are those that leave a lasting impact on people and those that I've put kind of blood and sweat into. And I just, I think one of the talents or skills that we have is really encouraging other people to find their talents. And so we just think that as part of our business, it helps us professionally the more people that learn how to use technical tools, because they'll usually come back and have a work with us. But then also it helps our community, and I want to live in a fun place. And the more people that are doing interesting things, the more fun I'll have as just a citizen of Brookings or whichever community I'm in. So I guess I got into it that way. I also have an interesting background. I was studied political science and did international development and peace studies as a master's degree. And so I always was thinking internationally, how can we improve the economic situation of people? And I realized after traveling that the best way that I found was really to start at home. And there's just a lot of need right in my backyard. You know, South Dakota has some of the poorest counties in the country. And there's no need to travel across the world. You can really make a difference locally by teaching and creating products and services that help people thrive. So I guess it's both personal and academic and professional all rolled into one. And I think that's maybe why it works really well. It's easy to be a champion when you're passionate about it, but sometimes if it's just your job, you get burned out, I think. So it's nice to have it as a side gig. And if anyone wants to learn more about what we're doing in those regards or tell us their stories, just digitalhomesteading.com is where we're trying to gather those. So we'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. Now, with your political science background and
sure.
your international travels and international living,
yeah.
Does that make you not really a regular person? Does that make you somehow different? Is this something that not everybody can do? That you have to? Are those prerequisites?
No, not at all. I think the thing that those experiences gave me was just an appreciation of place. And some people don't need to leave home to know that home is good. I was one of the people who did leave home to realize how good home was. So those definitely aren't prerequisites. I think the prerequisite is being comfortable with what your kind of strange talent is. I think the one danger in small towns is it's really easy to feel like you need to be homogenous, like you need to be like everyone else. And if we've learned anything in the digital age, is that the more strange and unique you are, the better you'll do. And so I just encourage anyone that's working in rural areas, think about what your skill or talent is. And while it may seem boring in your hometown, chances are if you go to the nearby urban area, it's amazingly unique. I just think about, I'm trying to think locally. Like I met a guy who's a blacksmith and makes little amulets. And that seems totally fascinating and unreal. But if you think it's like an old rural art form in essence, and someone who does it maybe just thinks it's, what their great grandparents did. But a lot of those old handcrafted local skills are lost now. And so it doesn't have to be digital. You don't have to be a digital marketing firm or a creative designer or whatever. I think a lot of the kind of the makers movement, the ability to create, is really exciting and powerful. And really what the digital helps is just people can find you immediately now. So you don't have to take your corn to market. You can really just put it up online, whatever your craft is, and it can immediately be found anywhere in the world. So I'm super excited about that. And I hope that everyone realizes there's no prerequisites. You can be an expert if you want to be.
That's really good. So one of the things that you and I have talked about before is about small towns have a future, that there is a future for small towns. So what do you think is in our favor right now as small town people?
Yeah, I definitely think small towns have a future, and I think the reason is because of that uniqueness and the ability to make an impact. People want to live the life that they've dreamt of. And if you are in a small town, what's great is you can create that so quickly. And so it really provides opportunity. I know when we were talking earlier, you mentioned the ability to have space. And when you think about a lot of the creative industries, it often is space that gives people the ability to create. And I just think small towns offer that in spades. And it also creates, in my mind, I mean, this is maybe tooting our own horns a little bit, but it creates that sort of work ethic where if you have to be the one that's volunteering to make your town better, and you have to be the one, creating a business, and you have to be the one going to other people's events because you want them to come to your events the following week, it instills a sense of community, which I think is absent sometimes. And I think creating that community, keeping people tied together, is important now because it's online especially, it's really easy to hang out with people who are the exact same as you. But if you're in a small town, you have to hang out with everybody. You have to make friends with the conservatives and the liberals, the young people and the old people, the people who are longtime power brokers and the new entrepreneurs. And so I think that skill is really, really important to have. So that's all the benefits small towns can give. And again, I think just having that space and ability to create is something that people can find in small towns.
So of all the different things that you've done in your long life here.
My long life,
it's
getting longer.
Here, what have you found that you wish more people knew?
I think the one lesson I tried to drive home to people is that weird is good, kind of the idea that whatever you are good at, the more specific and crazy it seems, probably the better it will be for you. And it took me a long time to learn that. I had a liberal arts education and was trying to be really good at everything, participated in everything. And what I found is just meeting people who had a passion in something really specific or strange really gave them a clear path on how to succeed. And I just thought that was so fascinating because I think I spent so much time trying to gain the knowledge that everyone else had instead of just honing, you know, what my unique skill or ability was. So I think as individuals, that's really important to learn. And also for cities, you can take the same lesson. And every city and community has something strange and funny and interesting about it, and probably some unique combination of people or resources. And if you can celebrate that, put a spotlight on it, people will flock to you. There's going to be people that are interested in the same thing you are, no matter how strange, and now they can find you. So just be yourself and know that you can do it.
That's wonderful. I can't think of a better place to wrap up. Tell folks again where they can find you and where you are online.
Sure. Yeah, our company, Nine Clouds, is nineclouds.com, and our blog you can find at Nine Clouds or by searching digital homesteading. And personally, my name's Scott Meyer. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Scott Meyer, Mr. Scott Meyer. And we'd love to connect and hear your stories and also have you join us as what we call the digital homesteaders, join our band of digital homesteaders so we can try to improve rural communities and encourage entrepreneurship around the world. So it's so great to talk with other passionate and forward-thinking folks like yourself, Becky. So I just thank you for the opportunity today.
Thank you for joining us and for bringing your brand new daughter to come and share with us today.
This is Amelia's first podcast, so thanks everyone for being nice to her. I think she did pretty well.
She did really well. And you did great, too. Thank you for sharing all of that. And we will be in touch, you and I, and hopefully everybody else, all of us that are digital homesteaders and people involved in small towns everywhere. Thank you
That's
very
right.
much.
Thank you.